Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Watch over us, O most merciful Father. During these times of trials and tribulations, we ask for your blessings, that in your infinite wisdom and power, you grant us wisdom, patience, and the understanding of when we should use them. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I want us to reflect on the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, in which we're told the parable of the sower of seeds. This is one of the parables told to us by Jesus. And although it may seem simple on that surface, it contains some of the truths that we need to understand about the state of our hearts and how we need, should I say must, learn something to work God. The message is just right today and what Jesus first shared among our 2,000 years ago. Because in this parable, Jesus gives us insight into how people respond to God's word. And more importantly, how the condition of our hearts determines its impact on our lives and especially our hearts. See, I want you to know that whatever the state of your heart is, we must continue. And I mean, really, we must continue to pray to God and ask that he grants us a new heart so that we can hold fast to him and his word and allow those words to bear fruit in our souls and our lives. Jesus begins the parable by telling us about a sower who went out and scattered seeds onto the ground. In this case, the sower spreads the seeds. He didn't go out there and dig little holes and put one seed in there, pull out his little pickaxe to dig holes. No, he just threw them onto the land. He scattered them throughout the land. Now, let me enlighten you all a little bit to the symbolism behind this parable. As is stated in the gospel, the seed represents the word of God, the message of salvation, and the truth of Jesus. Although the sower is not named, he represents anyone, and I mean anyone who shares God's message through preaching, teaching, or giving their personal testimony of how God has changed their life. Just as the sower freely scattered the seeds on the land, God also does not withhold the gospel from anyone, anywhere. He spreads his word far and wide because he knows that not every heart will embrace the word, but he knows that some people will. In our lives today, the word of God surrounds us at every turn. It's preached in the churches, shared by our friends, posted on social media. We hear it present in songs, and we read it in books. The real fact of the matter is how we respond when we hear the word of God. That's what really matters, and that's what truly matters. Think of it like a farmer planting seeds in the field. The farmer has no control over the soil. He has some, but he has no real control. But he remains faithful when he's sowing those seeds. And God works the same way. God works with our hearts. But the condition of our hearts will determine the soil in which we're capable of receiving the word, how receptive we are. See, the scripture tells us that there are four types of ground that the sower must contend with, that he or she must deal with when spreading the seeds, when spreading that word of God. The first type of ground is the wayside. Jesus describes the seeds that fall by the wayside, where the soil is hard and compacted. The birds, they come out of nowhere, and they quickly eat those seeds. This represents those who hear the word, but they instantly allow the enemy to steal it away. They may listen to the gospel, but their heart's not in it. It's already hardened. Maybe they're distracted, they're skeptical, or they just don't care one way or the other what's being said about God's word. The parable shows us, or states to us, that the devil taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Words hold power. We see this in the world today, when people hear the gospel, but they quickly reject it. Their hearts may be hardened by whatever, life experiences, pride, ego, or something just as simple as they don't have time in their busy day to listen to it. The enemy works to prevent them from embracing the truth that could lead to their salvation. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. This hardening of the heart is one of the tools that the enemy uses to keep people from the realization that they need Jesus in their life. The second ground is the rocky ground. Jesus speaks about the seeds that fall on rocky ground. The seeds do grow, and they spring up quickly, but they wither away because they lack roots. They don't have soil. They don't have water. This represents those who hear the word, and they receive it happily. But when those trials, tribulations, and temptations come, their faith is shallow. They have better things to do, and they fall away. We see these people who initially, when they come to church, they're ecstatic, enthusiastic. And outside of the Anglican church, they're jumping up and they're praying. And they're, hallelujah, everything is good. Oh, Lord. And then, you know, they're reading the Bible. They're praying. At least in the church. But quickly, they lose that passion. They lose that passion when their first challenge comes through. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 2, which also discusses this parable, it says, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. You see, trials and tribulations, they test our faith. And if our faith isn't deeply rooted, it won't stand. How do we say the test of time? It won't stand. The third ground is the thorny ground. Jesus tells us about the thorny ground where the seeds grow, but they're choked by thorns. These thorns represents life's cares, riches, and pleasures. You know those things that appear to overshadow God's word. While people hear the word, the distractions of the world prevent them from producing any lasting fruit. They're not showing God's love in their actions. They're not being a light that people need in the darkness. See, in society today, we often see people who are just so consumed with pursuing wealth, position, success, money, or personal pleasures that they neglect that much needed relationship with God. Jesus warns us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, that says, no man can serve who? Mammon or money? Nah, that's wrong. I'm sorry. No man can serve two what? Masters, exactly. You cannot serve God and Mammon. And Mammon is used interchangeably for money. So some Bibles may say money, some say Mammon. But that term is used to describe wealth, as in money, or material riches, such as property, cars, or anything that we associate wealthy people as having a lot of. It's anything that can lead people away from God. You see, a person's devotion to wealth or material gain can conflict with their dedication to God. We have these distractions, and they keep us from focusing on the prize. Because when you focus too much on worldly pursuits, you risk allowing these things to choke out that spiritual growth that God desires for all of us. He wants us to be a better us, a better me, a better you. Last but not least is that fourth ground. And that's the good ground. Finally, those stand on the ground and they produce fruit, multiply harvest, a hundredfold. This presents those who hear the word. They feel the word in their heart and their souls, and they understand it. But the best way to describe it is that it's a seed that takes root. But it not only takes root, it goes one step further. It takes a deep root in their lives and in their hearts. Their faith is steadfast. It's unwavering. It's resolute. And it's dedicated. They bear fruit for the kingdom of God. See, God wants us to have that kind of heart. A heart that's receptive of his word and allow it to transform our lives so we can be that beacon. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. When we allow God's word to take a hold, to take root in our lives, it transforms us and it produces fruit that glorifies him. Amen? See, my brothers and sisters, I want you to remember that God calls us to listen and understand his word. We're told that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The seed of God's word is powerful and is transformative. It can change you. It can make you a better you. But it depends on one thing, and that's the condition of your heart. I want each of y'all to take a moment and examine your hearts and ask yourselves this one question. Are you hard like the wayside? Shallow like the rocky ground? Distracted like the thorny ground? Or are you fruitful like the good soil? Here's something I want you all to think about. I want each and every one to know that God is always ready to work in your hearts, helping you to become that good soil, to be receptive of his word, to be a light. So if we can but take a moment at some point in today and every day of our lives to allow the word to grow and bear fruit in our lives and be a light and role model for those lives that we come across in the course of our day to day, I'm sure I have the belief that knowing that God is a great God and is a mighty God, and through the blessings of Jesus Christ our Lord, we're that one more step closer to being with God and being on the path to God's ways and to the love of God. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.